May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another inspiring and uplifting silsila, Spiritual Cures, where we share lots of different wada'if, invocations, litanies for different types of problems. We have some calls, some questions on different issues that are being faced by the ummah. Stay tuned, have a diary or a journal. It will prove very beneficial and handy. You can jot down the simple, the practical Madani pearls of advices as well as the wada'if, the litanies, primarily from His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, and use that as a reference book. So in case you are going through that difficulty or that issue, you can refer to it and apply the Madani pearls, apply the wada'if, or perhaps you may know somebody that is going through that difficulty or has these types of questions. Before we move further, let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So how about we make some good intentions? And oh Allah Azawajal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is your final and last prophet. Are the good intentions we can make that I'm here to seek knowledge of deen? What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahul Kareem. Time is fast, life is short, time is ticking by. What matters is the present, is the now. Then what are we doing with our lives? Are we obedient to our Creator, or are we obedient to our desires, our nafs, or societal pressures? Do I establish my salahs? Do I perform my salahs properly? Do I engage in dhikrullah, in recitation of the glorious Quran, in istighfar? How often do I turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere repentance? We need to do these things on a daily basis. How often do I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I supplicate and beg for His mercy, for His blessings, for His bounties, and for forgiveness? Don't only make dua for yourself, but also for your family, for your society, your community, and the ummah as well. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He grants relief to the ummah, the grief-stricken ummah of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is experiencing tremendous trials, tribulations, calamities, difficulties, sicknesses and illnesses. Make dua for shifa'i kulli, for complete and speedy recovery from whatever type of spiritual, medical, psychological, mental, emotional problems that are existing there. And make dua for protection against the oppressors. There are so many wonderful blessings and bounties to recite when we are sending salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful Rasul, the final Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who recites salawat, durud pak, 1,000 times every day, will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Throughout my day, how do I use this tongue? How do I use and utilize my time? Send an abundance of salawat in durud pak. It will benefit us greatly in this world, the grave, and on the Day of Judgment as well. We will request our director sahab and our wonderful team, please go ahead with the first call. Sallu ala al-habib. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Enjoying the show. My question is, how can one purify their speech and make it a source of reward instead of sin?
MashaAllah, what a lovely question. To purify our speech, what we say, what we utter, and make it a means or a source of reward. Well, this all depends. What kind of company I keep that influences me, that affects me? What kind of material I read? What kind of things do I see on my phone, on my laptop, on my tablet, and whatever type of device is there? So what kind of life do I live? That will be dependent upon my mindset. Remember something. The closer one draws to Allah Azza wa Jalla and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the Quran, to the teachings of Islam, to the Sunnah, the further they will move away from sins. And the closer a person draws towards sinning and sinful activities, the further they will move away from Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu's mercy, His blessings, the further they will move from the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his love, and the further they will move away from the teachings of Al-Quran and Islam. So all of these things will impact a person, how they live their lives and what they say, how they say it, what they do, how they do it. So something very simple that you and I can change, and that is the company we keep. Cut your losses. If the company you keep, those whom you associate with, if they are not there to remind you of your duties as a Muslim, if they are taking you away from the fulfilling of your purpose as a believer, as a Muslim, they are no good for you. They are unhealthy for you. Studying the seerah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the seerahs of the Sahaba ikram, Ahlul Bayt Athar, Awliyaullah, the pious predecessors. And when you do this, start reading, start studying it. One of the many things you will come to realize is that they always spoke things that were necessary. They always spoke the truth and they used the best of words. They wouldn't engage in useless conversations or frivolous activities, useless words. They would make every sentence count because they understood very clearly that the angels, Kiram al-Katibin, the scribes, the honorable scribes, they are waiting and ready with their pens to write down every single thing and the details of what we say and what we do, what we see, what we hear. And that will testify either for us or against us on the Day of Judgment. Always weigh your words before speaking. Before speaking, weigh it. Contemplate, think about it first, whether you are with a colleague or in your household or with a friend. Think before you speak. And the scholars have mentioned so beautifully, and this is tied to purifying our speech so that it may become a means of reward and not sin. So before you utter anything, think and try to get into this routine. In the beginning, you may forget, but the more you do it, the more conscious you become before you say anything, before you do anything. So, before you do or say anything, think to yourself, in your mind, what I'm about to say or do, will it lead to the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His displeasure? How will it be written down in my book of deeds, Nama e Amal, as a good deed or as a bad deed? Will it bring shame, humiliation, disgrace to me on Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment? Or will it be a source of relief and salvation? What I'm about to say or do, could it lead me to heaven or hell? So these are some of the things in just few seconds we can think about, and then you come to the conclusion of whether we should utter it or not. Remember, the person who speaks too much of unnecessary things makes many mistakes. The one who makes many mistakes, it is more possible for him to make more sins, to commit more sins. The one who commits more sins will get more punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Reserve most of what you utter or want to say, to recite the glorious Quran, to recite salawat, durud-e-pak, dhikrullah, istighfar, and spreading the invitation towards righteousness, towards goodness. There are countless benefits of using the tongue in the correct way. However, the same tongue can become a cause of great suffering if it is not used in accordance with the commandment of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's narrated from Sahabi Jalil, a renowned Sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, most of the mistake of a person are in his tongue. The great Sahabi, Sayyidina Bilal bin Harith radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, has stated that the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, someone speaks something good without knowing its limits, due to which Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure is written for him until the day when he will meet him. And one speaks something bad without knowing its limits, due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes his displeasure until the day when he will meet him. Dear viewers and listeners, I know each and every one of us wants to gain the pleasure of our Creator, Rabb Azza wa Jal, our Sustainer, the one to whom we are going to return to sooner than we realize. But we need to take care of this, of what we say. We need to be conscious of every move that we make. And Islam, the Deen, Quran, the Sunnah, it helps us focus on intentions. Initially, it might be challenging, we'll forget. But the more you remind yourself, I need to make good intentions before I do this, before I say anything. I need to make good intentions that will help you become more conscious of what you do and what you say. Throughout your day, engage in dhikrullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. You know, it's narrated by Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, in Minhaj al-Abideen, that dhikrullah is as painful for the devil, for Satan, as the suffering that one experiences due to the disease of aqila. Do you know what is aqila? It is such a disease that affects the human flesh in such a way that the flesh starts separating from the body itself. How painful is that? So dhikrullah is as painful to Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one, as the suffering one experiences because of this disease of aqila. So yes, you want to hurt somebody, you want to cause pain to somebody, do it to Shaitan, the cursed and rejected one, Iblis, Satan, the devil, the demon, whatever you want to call him, do it to him by engaging in abundant dhikrullah. This way we can purify our speech, inviting towards goodness, teaching somebody something of deen is purifying your speech. Recitation of salawat, durud-e-pak, istighfar is purification of your speech. Of course, the opposite of these things, engaging in sinful talks, talking to a ghair mahram, using obscene, vulgar words, like we see today. And many a times, unnecessary conversations can lead to the direction of speaking lies, of backbiting, slandering, assassinating people's characters, and a whole host of other sins. The choice is ours. We choose the right way or the wrong way. So study the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and of the pious ones. How they would practice upon, in Dawud Islami we call it Qufle Madina, which literally means the lock of Medina, meaning the spiritual lock of Medina Sharif, Zadahallahu Sharafa wa Ta'zeema, that we speak less and we only speak what is necessary. We speak good. It's better to speak good, invite towards goodness, than to remain silent. And it's better to remain silent than to speak unnecessary or evil talks. Please go ahead with the next call. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Hisham Ali Khamis from Tanzania. Alhamdulillah Rabb al-Alamin. The question of today is, what are some common fears people experience And how does Islamic guide us in overcoming?
Allahu Akbar. Some common fears. So many different types of fears are out there. There's different categories of fear. Then you get phobia. So fear itself, it's actually natural. It's a natural, rational response to some real threat or some perceived danger. Adrenaline and the hormones start pumping throughout the body. You become alert in order to protect yourself from harm. If there's a dangerous animal around, that fear is going to prompt you to flee to save your life. And the intensity of the fear or the response of fear matches the level of danger. If there are criminals around, phobia on the other hand, there are so many different types of phobias. And that is to do with the mental state of a person. So phobia is defined as having an overwhelming and irrational fear of some specific object or situation, and they classify it as a type of anxiety disorder that leads to the avoidance of whatever the person has a fear of. The fear response is excessive and it is out of proportion to the actual risk of what the person is fearful of. It can be triggered by an object, a situation, or even just the thought of it, because this is a mental condition. Phobias, for the person who is experiencing it, they could display certain symptoms like perspiring, trembling, a rapid heartbeat, chest pains, dizziness, nausea. And so you get different types of like phobias, arachnophobia, fear of spiders. One thing which is common, claustrophobia, the fear of being in enclosed spaces, fear of heights. So that, when it comes to phobias, that's a mind thing. Real fears like job instability or job loss, maybe the company is retrenching, cutting jobs, fear of criminals, fear of loneliness, fear of failing the examinations, fear of dying, fear of falling sick. So these fears, we need to deal with it by creating a positive mindset, but also taking the necessary precautions where needed. If you know the company is retrenching and possibly your name is there as well, then immediately start putting out your CVs, going for interviews. Criminals, well, we have to take the necessary precautions, physical and spiritual as well. I'll share some wada'if, inshallah. And many people do this, where there is a crime spike, certain areas, when it comes to certain seasons, the criminals are on the loose. The criminals are trying to break into people's homes, carjacking, hijacking, kidnapping. So many things are happening. Fear that a person has regarding being lonely in life or failing the exams. Prepare well. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death. Well, death, it's going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly. The important thing is, we need to prepare. How many of us are distracted by the entertainment sector? That is what it is there for. To keep us busy. To waste our precious time in things that have no benefit. And just pull us towards sinful things. You hear people talking about this sports team and that sports team, and Allahu Akbar, what a waste of time. We're not there to judge anybody but ourselves. There's one fear that it is good to develop for our own benefit. We must develop this fear. That is the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His punishments. We have fear of hell. Do we have fear of falling into sins? Do we have fear of saying the wrong things to our spouse, to our children, our parents, our siblings, and hurting their feelings, fear of violating people's rights? So phobias generally have to do with the mental state. The brain needs to be trained. We need to do a mindset shift. A mindset shift. You change your mindset and you can change everything. The brain is very powerful. And yes, take the necessary precautions and leave it to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is in reality in control of everything. True fears can't exist in the heart of a person. Fear of the Creator Azza wa Jal and fear of creation. All creation is going to perish. Before you leave your home, recite Ya Muhaiminu, Ya Muhaiminu, Ya Muhaiminu 29 times with Durood e Pak once before and after. And do dam, blow towards yourself, your family members, for your personal protection. Recite Ya Jaleelu, Ya Jaleelu, Ya Jaleelu 10 times. Durood Sharif once before and after. And blow onto your items, your tablet, your laptop, your wallet, your phone, your car, for protection of those items. Yes, make dua every day for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, for safety, for security. Make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to protect you from criminals, criminal activities, jinn, jadu, black magic, nazribad, evil ones, against sicknesses, viruses, against those who cause fitna and fasad, who create mischief. Make those du'as every day for you, for your family, for the ummah as well. Whilst making wudu, His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al Aliya, a great saint and scholar of Islam who is followed by tens of millions around the world, advises us throughout your wudu, as you're making wudu, you're going to recite your du'as before, during, after, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, and Atawadda'u li Raf'il Hadath, make your intentions. And throughout your wudu, recite Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru. This is a powerful quality of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in between, through the Pak, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habibullah. Do this throughout the duration of your wudu, inshallah al-kareem, you will be protected against kidnappers. Teach this to your children also. Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru, washing your hands, Ya Qadiru. Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru, Ya Qadiru, Sallallahu Alaihi Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Qadiru, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, Ya Qadiru. But just be careful, if you are making wudu in a washroom where there is a toilet there, then don't recite it verbally, but in your heart, in your mind. Let me share wazifa for fear of loneliness. If a person continuously recites this, insha'Allahul Kareem, they will see benefit. Especially one suffering from this fear of loneliness. Recite continuously, Ya Ra'ufu, Ya Ra'ufu, Ya Ra'ufu. For fear of loneliness to be removed from a person's heart and mind. Be in positive company. Create a positive environment. Face your fears and remove those phobias that are haunting your mind. It will prove very beneficial. The continuous recitation of salawat, Durood e Pak, Dhikrullah, the glorious Quran. And of course, dua. If you have a specific phobia, turn to Allah and ask Him to help you remove whatever phobia it is, whatever fear that you are facing in your life. Can we go ahead with the next call, please? Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Walana Sahib, hope you are keeping well, Hazrat. My question for today is, how should a person respond when they are wrongfully accused?
Allahu Akbar. If a person is wrongfully accused, what should be the response? Okay, so something we need to keep in mind. This may occur because of some misunderstanding that the person has against you. Or it could be that the one who is accusing you knows for a fact that you are innocent. But due to certain reasons, they just want to defame you. They want to bring you down. They want to assassinate your character or put you in trouble. People who falsely accuse others, who say slanderous things to belittle the person, who try and tarnish the reputation of the individual, they are often acting from a place of unhappiness. They are unhappy with their lives. Or they are acting from a place of pride, selfishness, jealousy, or just to hurt you, just out of spite. They want some entertainment, some kind of spice in their life. But this creates, in many situations, immense emotional distress. It harms one's reputation, the reputation, the person may have taken a long time to build, and then with slander, buhtan, which is forbidden in Islam, it is such a heinous crime, worse than backbiting. But the person wants to feed their ego, wants to feed their jealousy, the monster of jealousy. Maybe they have hatred, malice. If something against you and it causes harm to your reputation, you know what else it can create? Strained relationships, and may even lead to legal consequences. There are consequences. Everything we do, everything we say. Let's say the person has a high position in the corporation. Maybe the person is your boss, your manager, your director, and you are climbing up the ladder, the corporate ladder. It could be a fellow colleague, maybe vying for your position. Both of you all have applied to a position, a vacancy. And the person feels, no, I am competent. This person, what can I do to hurt them, to harm them? What kind of dirt can I get on them? So I can go to the manager and he can see me favorably and not give the chance to the other person. Subhanallah. Creating any type of harm to another Muslim is a major sin. There's great punishment for the person who does so. One example, on the day of judgment, in the fire of hell, certain people will be inflicted with such a punishment and torment that they will itch their skin. And they will continue itching. It won't provide any type of relief. They will itch and itch till they peel off their skins, their layers of skins, their meat and their flesh, exposing their bones. It will be asked of them, is it paining? They will scream. They will shout in agony. Yes. And then they will be told, this is the punishment for you for hurting Muslims. Now we have to ask ourselves, am I guilty of this? Do you really think we can bear that pain? Whether we can or not, it's going to happen to certain people, certain unfortunate people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us. Protect us from violating the rights of fellow Muslims, of people, of our neighbors. Protect us from indulging in sins that hurt others, whether physically, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, in any way. So how do I deal with that person who is falsely accusing me? What is going to be my reaction? Because generally what happens is, a person goes on the defensive mode. No, but I didn't do this. You are falsely accusing me. Who are you? And in a rant, the first thing to do is just keep calm. Do some deep inhalation, exhalation. Keep calm firstly. So when you're addressing the false accusations and you know you are innocent, you didn't do that, you didn't say that, keep calm and maintain a professional demeanor, professional disposition, and a respectful tone. It could be that the person who is falsely accusing you, maybe they're asking because a third party has whispered in their ears something against you. Avoid engaging in arguments or personal attacks, ad hominem, personal attacks on the person. So in a calm way, with good words and a respectful tone, tell the person, okay, you know what? Actually, I'm innocent. I didn't do this. But let's get to the bottom of this. Where is this coming from? Who is behind this? So you'll work together to attack the problem. Stick to the facts and present your evidence calmly, logically as well. Think that, you know, in the time of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when people, they falsely accused our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Lady Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and they came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falsely accusing her. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a divine revelation to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clearing her name. Allahu Akbar. So people, for different types of reasons, will always be there to try and put you down. Be the better person and move past it and try to overcome these obstacles that will be placed in your path. Some wadaif, inshallah. So let's say if you called in for a disciplinary hearing and you know you are innocent. And when you are there, before you go, recite 20 times, Ya Nafi'u, Ya Nafi'u, Ya Nafi'u, with Durud Sharif once before and after. And when you are there, or even if you're taken to court, but you are innocent, recite, Ya Azizu, Ya Azizu, Ya Azizu, 41 times, through the park, once before and after, and blow towards the magistrate, towards the judge, towards the attorneys, the lawyers. If you are falsely accused, then recite the following 133 times daily after any salah. This is from the glorious Quran, Surah Bani Israel, verse 81.
وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا.
Surah Bani Israel, verse 81. 133 times daily after any salah. But remember, if you are in the right, that you are innocent, then this must be practiced upon. Otherwise, the reciter may fall further into hardship. And if you are subjected to any unlawful court cases, recite the following 654 times. 654 times on the date of the trial, the case, Allah willing, the verdict will be in your favor. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Until next time, think good, so you'll speak good, do good, and inshallah al-kareem, good things will happen. Keep watching Badani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal